Hello. Today I'm going to continue the series of my focus on IRS forms and publications. Specifically, today I'm going to be looking at the various forms and publications you can use in dealing with the IRS regarding collections, liabilities, and other tax controversy issues. If you are wanting to do research or use specific forms in dealing with the IRS, I would recommend using these forms.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I am your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
This episode is going to focus on various tax controversy publications and forms. Now, some of these might be ones that if you are working in a tax clinic and receiving duplicates of the mail that the IRS sends to your client, you may be receiving some of these forms or publications in those envelopes the IRS sends out to you. So going down the list, the first one I want to point out is IRS Publication 1. I spoke about this in a little bit more depth two episodes previous in part one of this series. I do think it is an important piece of material that the IRS is allowing taxpayer rights to be promoted, that they have codified the Taxpayer Bill of Rights. I think this is useful as something to point out to the IRS, a standard that they should be held to. Now, there are a series of publications I wanted to point out that they go through on the collections or examinations process. So to begin with, there is Publication 1660, Collection Appeal Rights. This is a four-page publication that looks at the collection due process and collection appeals programs. Next, there is Publication 594, the IRS Collection Process, eight pages that include collection alternatives, liens, and levies. Publication 5, your appeal rights. These are two pages for a taxpayer instructing them on how they can protest their tax liability through the court system. Publication 556, examination of returns, appeal rights, and claims for refund. Now, this is the lengthiest of the publications so far at 20 pages. It goes quite a bit in depth on the examination and appeals process for taxpayers. One page that I have referenced is page 16, the refund offset priority list. This goes through when the IRS or a government program is keeping a refund, what is the priority list? First, it is federal income tax owed. Next, past due child support. Third, past due legally enforceable debts owed to a federal agency. So this might be student loans, it might be the VA. Fourth, past due legally enforceable state income tax debt. And fifth, future federal income tax liability. When a person is trying to get a taxpayer their refund, trying to do a refund offset bypass, this is the list of potential claimants that you might be dealing with. So first of all, the IRS, second, child support, third, federal agencies, fourth, state income tax. Going down the list with the client, seeing if they owe any of those agencies a tax debt, that is worth discussing with them to see what needs to be done to deal with one of those agencies so that you can try and get the refund back to them. Some more IRS publications to look at are the examination process, eight pages in Publication 3498 or 3498A, the examination process audits by mail, which is also eight pages. Publication 4227, the appeals brochure, is two pages talking to taxpayers about the appeals process and their department. Publication 971 is about innocent spouse relief. This is an in-depth examination of the innocent spouse process. It is 28 pages. It details the types of relief, innocent spouse relief, separation of liability relief, and equitable relief. It includes flowcharts and examples with a filled-in example of the Innocent Spouse Form 8857. I spoke to you last episode about Publication 4681, Cancellation of Debt, which includes the Insolvency Worksheet. There is Publication 783, Discharge from a Tax Lien. That is 7 pages and includes Form 14135. And I always want to point out Publication 4134, is the low-income taxpayer clinic list. Next, I'm going to turn to the forms. Form 982, Discharge of Indebtedness. This I spoke about last episode in conjunction with Publication 4681. Form 3949A is an information referral form. This is used to report alleged tax violations by an individual, a business, or both on using a fraudulent tax return. Form 14157 is used to report misconduct by your tax preparer or if they made changes to your return without your authorization. Form 14242 is to report an abusive tax avoidance scheme, promotion, or promoter. Form 13909 reports misconduct or wrongdoing by a tax-exempt organization. Now, coming back to the collections process, Form 12153 is to request a collection due process or equivalent hearing. Form 8857 is the innocent spouse request form. Form 9465 is to request an installment agreement. Form 911 is the request form for the Taxpayer Advocate Service. Form 8379 is the injured spouse form. Form 433A is the collection information statement for wage earners and self-employed individuals. This is the longer form, while Form 433F is the shorter form, the collection information statement. I use the Form 433 series to try and get individuals into the currently not collectible status, showing their financial hardships. And the offer and compromise forms, Form 656 is strictly the form itself, while Form 656B is the entire offer and compromise booklet with all of the forms, including Form 656 and Form 433A OIC in parentheses, with all of the instructions. Form 656L is the offer and compromise doubt as to liability form by itself. Form 656-PPV is the periodic payment voucher, and Form 13711 is to request an appeal of an offer in compromise that has been denied. Now, I wanted to mention the difference between innocent spouse and injured spouse. Both of them are for individuals that have filed a joint tax return. Innocent spouse deals with a previous joint return that has a liability for the parties, where an individual is looking to separate the liability or totally be removed from any of that joint liability. The debt is a joint and several liability with the IRS, where the IRS can go after one or both of the spouses. And the injured spouse form is dealing with a current or a recent tax return where the joint couple, that one spouse may be due a refund and the other spouse has one of the past due government debts I was speaking about earlier, with the refund offsets such as federal tax debt, child support that is due, student loans, state income tax, or other government debts, where the one spouse's refund goes to pay the other spouse's past due government debt, the injured spouse form can be filed to bypass that payment of the government debt through the refund and to get the refund back to the injured spouse. I wanted to mention that because these two similar sounding forms of relief can be confused by taxpayers and even practitioners. I will likely be doing an episode in depth on innocent spouse and injured spouse relief, but I wanted to mention these just to give a little bit of clarity on these similar sounding forms. Now, of course, with all of the forms, there are often instruction forms as well. So if you are looking for some kind of clarity on this form or some type of relief, definitely look at the instructions, see what those provide. I also recommend doing a title search in the forms. That, for example, putting in a search on liens provides multiple forms. It is worth comparing them just to see what kind of forms are available, that if you're trying to get a lien removed for one of your clients, it's worth comparing the forms and seeing which forms may be useful to get that lien removed. So I hope going over these forms is useful to you. They can provide a lot of useful information or help get you to the form you need. I appreciate your listening. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.